Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Guess what? Winter's not over yet. 6:09. Another crappy morning. Glad we're here for you. Glad you're here for us. Come here. Give me a hug, you listeners. It's nasty outside. That's the bulletin. And, why don't we just do it? Why don't we just suck it up? Well, first off, say hi to Mark Carman. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
How are you?
Beautiful day in my mind. I mean, just more time to listen to the Steve Cochran Show. We can really dive
in. Happy to be up. You're happy to be here.
That's exactly right.
Good to hear. How's the engagement?
Engagement's struggling, Steve.
All right, we'll find out more about that. Sure. Great tease, by the way.
Great tease.
There you go.
At 6:09, time for the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
You ever take your coat off and wonder if you button your cuffs?
Your shirt?
Yeah. What? Like, I was taking my coat off and thinking, did I button my cuffs?
Your sleeves, yeah.
Yeah. Turns out, by the way, I did. I don't want anybody to worry about it.
I was going to say, that's low on the worries when you get to work.
What about your fly? Did you take care of that?
Yeah, fly would be before cuffs.
Yep, all good.
Mary goes right below the waist. We had a problem with the priest this weekend with that.
Oh, no. Yeah. During the sermon?
No, before, and he was giving us a talk, and somebody saw, and we're like, who's going to tell him?
You got to tell him.
You got to tell him.
He's in front of the flock.
My cousin ended up telling him.
Yeah, flied out in front of the flock is a problem.
Oh, it was bad.
Cousin took one for the team.
Yeah. Wow. What is this signal? Because guy to guy, you just go, and then you point. You maybe go to the pocket, little wiggle kind of thing. Or you just go, dude. Zip it up.
Mary, you don't say dude to a priest.
Wasn't wearing the cloak thing?
It was before any event. He had his black pants on and his black...
Pastry time outside?
Shirt on, the usual outfit.
Yeah, tailgate. You make the sign of the cross down near the crotch area.
You lower the cross.
Lower the cross.
Okay. My sister's the one who noticed, and I was like, how did you notice? What are you doing?
Well, sometimes it's obvious. Did we start? Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
I don't know what's snowing in Chicago for the morning commute. Wintry mix continues. Brutal February continues. Over 100 flights canceled by now. It's probably closer to a couple of hundred at O'Hare and Midway. And Tim McGill will join us in just a few minutes to rehash how delightful your morning commute will be. And stand by, Mary, if you're not checking flies. We're going to need you for an update there as well. Next.
Bob Fukaduka.
Oh, no.
He's not here today, Mayor. What'd you do to him?
Oh, no.
Late in the show yesterday, Sandberg had a tragic mispronunciation of our new engineer.
Oh, gosh.
Today, Governor Pritzker gives his first budget address. More on that later. Rick Pearson will be on the show. Governor outlined his first-year priorities. We'll include how to patch up about a $3 billion budget hole. And maybe legalize marijuana, maybe new casinos. Both of those don't have...
They can't really do anything for the next year. That's the problem.
Yeah, there's no bill that's tied to them specifically.
Yeah. It would take probably over a year to get legalized marijuana even on the books. And any revenue that would be coming in would take more, maybe a year and a half, too. So that is off the books today.
The speed of politics in play. Next.
Bob Fuchs.
A federal judge in the lawsuit against the Obama Presidential Center can continue protect our parks, says the city is in violation of the law by violating and offering federally protected public park land to a private entity. That's their take. And the lawsuit, they asked for a continuance, so it'll continue.
Yesterday, Ro Khan called me at home and
just to say hi.
He wanted to argue. Because we used to argue because he considers me to be the WGN socialist. That's his resident socialist.
I think that's probably true. Yeah.
Because I had argued.
Wait, hold on a second. Let me see if I have this. Museum. Left doesn't care. Right. Wendy's not a socialist. Rose had called you. Devonta still has too much newswoman there.
Right. He's got a voice for me and everything. He does this. That's how he
You know, Vasquez. A, Vasquez is probably right there with it. Petty Vasquez.
Yeah. As a person who used to listen to your crosstalk a lot with Ro, I think he's nailed you.
Yeah, like, he's got it down. He definitely has me pegged. But he called me to argue because he couldn't figure out why anyone would want to take away the Obama Presidential Center from Jackson Park.
So this is before the show?
This was during the show. He did it live. He called me at home. I'm you know, coming out of a nap.
Minding your own business. You're not hurting anybody.
Yeah, Jeff calls me. He's like, hey, Ro wants to argue about this. And I'm like, all right. So we can continue today.
Did you know I'm married? If I wanted to have an argument, I could just wake up.
I destroyed him in 2 minutes. I mean, he was, you know, dead on the floor.
Oh, now don't make us pull the tape if you said you destroyed him.
Yeah, you can. I was quick. I was fast. I got in there, explained it. Everyone was like, yeah, there's nothing you can do, Ro. Ro had to run away with his tail between his legs like he does all the time.
I'm sure Ro has his own version of that. We can talk about it at 9:40.
The universal. That was the universal.
do you know who Ro scheduled to call and argue with today?
I don't, actually.
Bob Fukuduka. Hey, he's calling him in.
Bob Fukuduka.
Pam Zekman did the story. There have been 50 cases of unsolved... since 2001, 50 cases of unsolved strangulations in Chicago. This is a dark, dark, dark story. Very similar ways the victims died. Bodies been disposed of in
burned
brutally awesome ways. Most of the victims are women of color in the South and West Sides. 50 victims in the last 18 years.
And in
years.
The piece she went to, I think it's called the Murder Accountability Project. It could be wrong on what the organization is. And they definitely saw that there is a pattern in the way that the killings were and also the way the bodies were disposed. So it shows, they say this is definitely could be the work of one person. And this has been brought to the police's attention over and over and over. But
is it an active case?
It is. It slowed down. This is very interesting. It slowed down to a crawl to nothing. In 2014, and the MAP suggests that the person could have been in jail. And they came back in 2017, 2018 with a vengeance. Like, it supersized in terms of the victims in the last year.
How is only Pam Zekman doing the story?
I just think we have a really, really, really bad habit here in Chicago, especially in the media, of this not being interested in women of color, and these are people who might be involved in sex work, so they're prostitutes, and we just don't report on it. We're like, oh, another death. We don't care. We never.
I don't think that
together.
Decision is made in newsrooms. I mean, Steve, I've never been in or around a radio station or a newsroom or a TV station where somebody said they're just hookers.
No, I don't know. That is a decision I've never made.
Yeah, but you and I both know, Steve, that we're not sitting here every time a body is found in an abandoned lot. We're not going through the police scanner to make that a priority to try and connect that to something else.
We don't have the resources to go into every case like that. But there's something else at play here. Do you know? I mean, I read this a couple of years ago. There were right now in the United States about 2,000 serial killers at work that have not been caught. So that's the even more scary underbelly of this is how many serial killers are out there.
This is really, here's what we need, a palate cleanser. How about an anecdotal report with Justin Cox?
Oh, okay. Right. Thanks, Steve. Yes, my anecdotal report is that there are a lot of potholes. I had to go to the north side of Chicago yesterday to get a wig. And on the way to get that wig, there were a ton of potholes.
New wig?
Back to you. Yeah, new one. Yeah. It's got bangs.
Any particular reason for the wig?
I might have a comedy show this weekend.
Okay.
That needs a wig.
Felt like that was an important part of the story.
You know, the important part of the anecdotal report is that are a lot of potholes.
Finally,
Bob Fukuduka.
Let's go live to Mark Carmen, who's right over there where I can see him.
Hey, Steve.
How did the Sox not get Manny Machado?
Well, apparently he chose more guaranteed money with the Padres than the White Sox offered. So, whatever. I was ready for Manny Machado to go elsewhere. I know a lot of White Sox.
Sox management wasn't.
Yeah, I know.
At least that's the line they're saying.
I think they were very upset. They're probably still upset.
Who lied to him? The agent?
I don't think anybody lied. I think that
give your best offer, right? They all did.
But Rick Hahn yesterday said, I'll be pissed off for a while and I'll get over it. What's he pissed off about if everybody told the truth?
I think
Manny took less. Play for the Padres.
I think he's mad that, look, they... Manny would have made the most money with the White Sox.
But there's a difference between disappointed and pissed off. Disappointed is he made a different choice. Pissed off is somebody told me something and they didn't do it.
I'm hearing that he's pissed off, not necessarily at Manny. He's pissed off that they just didn't get him, that they got to go back to square one.
Okay.
Maybe he's pissed at Manny. Maybe he's pissed at the agent. I'm not sure, though.
Kenny sounded like his heart was ripped out and stomped on when he talked.
I personally was very surprised by the White Sox.
Well, Reinsdorf stepped up. Reinsdorf stepped up and said, let's do what it takes.
Yes, he did. But at the end of the day, like, if you're going to go down that road, look, this is the price. You got to go beat it to get him. So if you really want to, quote unquote, step up, I mean, that's, look, okay, they're offering 300, we're at 301. You tell me what the top offer is, no, we will beat.
This is the part where you lose me. Not you. Collectively, you lose me. The owners have to pay these salaries. Okay, if you make a legitimate offer for somebody and the guy's going to get paid $30, $35, $45, $55, $65 million, and the other team's going to offer him $66 million, and you don't know that, it's ridiculous. At some point, the owners have to take it back, and they have to say, this is how much it costs to run the business. This is how much I have to spend.
I completely agree with that. And if I was the White Sox, I would. This is our top offer. This is what we think he's worth. If you want to go chase the last dollar, you're not going to get it here. You want to be a White Sox, we're offering you $250 million for 8 years. That's preposterous money. And you would have made more here if you bet on yourself.
What about Bryce Harper?
Don't get involved in Bryce Harper, but yeah, okay, Bryce Harper now.
But believe me, I'm not in the Sox meetings.
He's going to get more than Manny Machado.
He's going to get $325, $350. The
Phillies which is interesting because we were having a conversation yesterday, Steve, that, oh, the market has shrinked. It wasn't. It's just this way that the baseball needs to fix this. There needs to be a deadline because he's getting more money than we thought he was going to get, both of these guys.
And for the record, I just want to bring out one quote. Manny Machado told Fox Sports last year in the playoffs that hustling was not, quote, his cup of tea.
Yeah.
I mean... And I get it, super talented. Yeah.
Now, listen, I've had these conversations before. I've talked to players before about it. There was a player for the Chicago Cubs who could have owned this town. And he wasn't running out, pop-ups. He wasn't running out ground balls.
You talking about Sammy?
No, it was the third baseman.
Okay, you know, we're talking about Aramis. Okay.
I can't say it's Aramis.
Okay.
But I said to Aramis, I said to him, you could own this town. You could have endorsements like Michael Jordan. You could be the guy. And he said... Yeah. I play as hard as I want to. That's a direct quote. I play as hard as I want to.
I think you're talking about the Penguin.
Ron Say.
I don't know how many shopping days we have left until Christmas. You know, Tim McGill might know. He knows everything. Go live now to Channel 9 for the great Tim McGill in another day in February. I know it's February, and I know we're supposed to get this, but this sucks, Tim.
308 days, guys. 308 days to shop.
Shopping days?
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I have time, then, you're saying?
Yes, you have time, okay. Tim.
You have 307 days.
Good.
All right, so it's not great now, but it's not terrible. But it's going to build, obviously, because I don't know if you know this. A lot more cars will be on the road. But what's the ebb and flow of the storm?
Well, you know, it's timing is everything with these systems. If this hit any later than what we're expecting this morning, you'd say no big deal. But you're right, because of the traffic, it's going to affect everybody this morning. Right now, it's just really light to moderate snow. We're getting most of it was along and south of I-80. It's kind of lightened up for the meantime. There, and we're starting to see a little bit of a transition down near Kankakee and Piatone over to some freezing rain, maybe a little bit of sleet. So that's what we're most concerned about. That's going to lift northward, but it's very light. Yesterday, the models were suggesting like a tenth of an inch of glazing, but now it looks like less than that, and we're not going to get a whole lot of that, but it could be some slick spots for sure. And the snowfall accumulation may be up to an inch. There could be some spots that get an inch to two well north and northwest of the city. So not a big deal. It's just the timing. And it looks like this rain snow line or this freezing rain snow line is going to lift north towards the city by about 9, 10 o'clock this morning, I think, or maybe a little bit sooner. And then most of this really winds down just after that, around 10 or 11 o'clock this morning. This afternoon, we climb above freezing. We're just looking at sprinkles and drizzle. So really, between now and, say, 10 o'clock is when we're going to have the biggest impact. Nothing terribly heavy, just some slick spots. And when you add a lot of traffic into the mix, that's what's going to slow things down.
So if we survive this morning,
yes,
we'll be fine.
Yeah, as far as weather goes, I don't know any other things that could kill you.
No. I know there are other things that are out of your hand.
I don't know about meteorites falling from the sky or anything else, but just know about the snow.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Sure.
Appreciate the extra stuff. Mary Vandeveld's in our Traffic Central situation. What do we call you now? Are you Traffic Central? Are you Traffic Center? Where are you?
Traffic Central. I still think we're Traffic Central. Traffic
All right,
cut,
so there you are.
Whatever.
There
so
you
traffic
are. Traffic
Cut.
Central.
I like that.
The Traffic Cut.
Yeah.
The
Traffic Cut.
That sounds vacation-y.
Yeah. Oh, I wish.
Yeah. Or it sounds like one of those kind of cone-shaped things by the expressways where they put the salt in it.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's not
those
as good as
like
vacation-y.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's silo. Where Mary should do remotes from. The silos that look like boobs.
All right, so live... What? Live from your closet.
Because we do have a nice window. We have a nice view now.
Yeah.
It's not a closet. It has a window.
No, it's beautiful. What am I saying? So what are we looking at?
Well, I can't see it. I mean, I don't see it snowing much here downtown as of yet. But
I know you're doing a full traffic report here in the news in a few minutes.
Yeah.
But for people on the road, say right now.
I-80, I think, is a concern. That looks a little bit heavy with people going slower. So, that, as Tim was just saying, this freezing rain in that area. So, otherwise, far west and then Kankakee area, just watch your step there. As far as driveways, be careful. My husband just wiped out. He just called me and said he was taking out the garbage and fell already.
Is he okay?
So, yeah, I think he's all right.
Okay.
I told him to get some new boots. He's terrible. He's fallen like three times.
I think what you need to hear is, are you okay, before you yell at him.
Well,
about
I did.
Not
I yelled first
boots.
And then I said, are you okay?
Mary, probably, you're asking for this with those bad boots. Maybe he needs those shoe boots like Steve bought.
Yeah, those shoe boots are fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
They look like shoes. They work like boots.
Oh, I need some of those.
All right.
Steve also bought new Balances. They're black ones.
Those are great, too.
Hey, what's going on?
And they're
with
nothing
you?
Like
He's
boots.
He's like on a shopping spree.
Yeah,
he got the
boot.
He got jeans.
So crazy what I'm doing. It's unbelievable.
Did you buy new underwear, too?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're on the way. You know, the Tommy John stuff. I don't
special
pick them
order.
Up retail. Yeah, I order them. I have them custom made. All right. Thanks, Mary.
Okay.
6:28, and we'll get to the headlines in just a moment, right? Is that where we are in the show? Okay. Stand by for that on 720 WGN. Listen, I want to say hi to a friend of ours. Hold on a second. I've got to readjust the Star Wars, like, cockpit in here so I can see what I'm doing. We've got screens
Isn't
everywhere.
It fun? Every day it's something different here.
I got Wookiees in my way. Is that a Star Wars thing? A Wookiee? Thank you.
That was my Wookiee.
And we've got one of our friends on the phone, Delaney Bethel, previous Kid of the Week, and a Super Plunger. Delaney!
Hello!
How are you? Nice to talk to you again.
Yes, good to talk to you, too. Thank you for having me again.
Tell everybody what the Super Plunge is.
Okay, so it's similar to the Polar Plunge where you jump in the frozen lake, but instead you jump in it once an hour for 24 hours into Lake Michigan.
And your dad had you involved in this?
Yes, so I did the Polar Plunge, which is one jump when I was 7, and then I started doing the Super Plunge, which is 24, when I was 10.
All right, now here's the deal. You're a very modest young person. You're a great kid, and we really haven't plugged how we can help you. So I've dragged you back on the air to tell us how we can help you raise money. For what cause, by the way?
It raises money for Special Olympics.
Yeah, pretty great, right?
Yes.
All right, so how do we help you raise money for Special Olympics? What do we need to do, just for the fact that you already did this?
Okay, so there's a website. You can go to plungeillinois.com, and then if you search Chris and Delaney, then it should come up to help us support the Olympics.
And we can make a donation to you right there.
Yes.
How was the plunge? Did this already happen? The plunge just happened?
Yeah. So it was last Friday and Saturday.
Ooh.
So when we got there, the air was about 5 degrees and the water was about 33.
So it was
pretty cold.
It's not good when 33 is where you want to stay stay warm.
So when you're talking plunge, is it we've seen this in on the news where people run into the lake a little bit and then they run back out and they're like, oh, that's great. Maybe have a costume on. When we're talking about the super plunge, what does that entail?
So you can pretty much, it goes from anything from just like going into your ankles to like going fully under.
Which one did you choose?
It was like different this year because there was so much ice and stuff that after a few hours they wouldn't let you go under because they said it wasn't safe.
So you went under a few times?
Usually every year I go under once or twice, but this year I didn't.
All right, so
this year is against the rules.
I know, because it's super dangerous.
Crazy cold.
Listen, I know you love your dad and stuff, but at what hour of the 24 did you go, why am I being punished, Dad?
I mean, I thought it was pretty fun. We stay out. He took lots of naps. I took lots of naps. So,
you're a fun family.
Yes, very, very interesting.
Hey, Delaney, how long can people donate to your page?
It's until March.
Excellent.
All right. Well, I'm going to share this link on the Steve Cochran Show social.
And what is it again?
So if you go, so it's https://sol.donordrive.com/participant/Chris Delaney.
All right, and we won't link that. You just have to remember it. No, of course we'll put that up.
I'll put it up on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page.
And it's hashtag Freezing for a Reason, F-R-E-E-Z-I-N. Freezing for a Reason, so support it on social media as well. What are you doing today?
I have school.
What grade are you in? I forgot.
I'm a sophomore.
Sophomore. You got any tests or anything today?
Yeah, I have a quiz in driver's ed.
Okay, you're a pretty good driver. You've been practicing?
Yeah, pretty decent.
Yeah. Does your dad or your mom or somebody else go out with you? Who goes out with you?
My dad goes out with me.
And does he do the dad thing where he pushes his foot through the floor?
Oh yeah. He very much does the dad thing.
We all do, Delaney. You'll do it as a mom someday. Trust me. Listen, it's great talking to you. Very impressive. And we just like you. We're glad to have you back to make sure people know they can help.
Yes, thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Delaney.
Yeah, you too.
What a nice kid.
She's really nice. She also invited us all to go do it, but none of us are strong enough.
I was tied up that day.
Yeah.
What day was it?
Friday into Saturday.
Ooh, was that busy?
That should have been the lead for this story.
Yeah.
Delaney raises money for charity. Steve Cochran Show says, it's cold.
Yeah.
All right, so everybody make a donation, please.
Yep. On our behalf.
Carbs is here. Mark Carbs here for Dave Ennett.
Thanks, Dave.
And when we come back, Mark, I just want to make sure you talked extensively about your engagement last time you were on. You basically went on and on about it without any prompting from me.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it's time for an update.
Okay, Steve. I'm here for you and the show and my
engagement. You've been engaged 3 weeks?
I really forget when I did it, Steve.
It was in January.
Yeah, it was in January.
It was?
Yeah, yeah. See, it feels like a month
because the photo gallery
raised. You're right.
High.
You're not celebrating the anniversary of
your
engagement?
You don't know the date?
It was definitely in January. I think it was a Friday. Might have been a Saturday.
No, it was a Saturday.
It was a Saturday.
Do you remember the restaurant?
Dead.
You're not starting out.
It was Saturday because he did. What's petals? That show you do on Saturday here?
Right. That's White Sox Weekly and Carmen Harry on the Beat.
Yeah,
now, watch this, though. Okay, you don't remember that. Can you tell me the top five Bulls scores in the last three games?
Oh, what the dates
were. In reverse order?
I mean, I'm just looking forward to the All-Star break being over with, Steve. But, we could talk about, like, the first Bulls game I ever went to, Bulls-Hawks 1980.
645. Steve Cochran Show continues. And here's Mark Carmen in for Dave Ennett. You know, Mark, I'm only concerned about your welfare, your well-being.
Thanks, Steve.
And it was about a month ago that you got engaged.
Mm-hmm. January the 12th, Steve.
Your lovely I'm glad you looked it up.
We just did some research.
Your lovely fiancée's name is?
Her name is Chelsea.
And how did you meet Chelsea?
We met in a very organic way online, Steve. That's how they do it nowadays.
Bumble?
I know it's called J Swipe. It's swiping.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Swiping
for
the
Jewish dating.
It was Facebook comments.
Right. I love Bumble. Big fan of Bumble.
New app.
Back in the day. Yeah.
You were on Bimbo for a lot of years, I know.
Bimbo, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Tin Dog. Yep, all that stuff.
Yep. All right. So the engagement starts with celebrations and champagne and all those things. Are you at the fighting stage now?
We have entered the fighting stage.
All right. What are you fighting over?
Well, we're trying to figure out a venue that sort of aligns with both our values, I would say, Steve.
Values as in how much you're willing to spend?
Willing to spend an outdoor space and...
How many people?
How many people? Where is it?
So all details.
Everything is on the table right now.
Because I'm told you would like to have a crowd size, a guest list up to 7. Is that right? 7 people?
It's actually the other way, Steve. I'm going for I want everybody there. I can't not have. Who was the new engineer at WGN? What's his name?
Bob F.
Yeah, him. I want to have him there. Like, you know, I see that guy. I want everybody there.
But this is one day for the rest of your life.
Uh-huh.
You sure you want everybody there?
Yeah, the
price goes up exponentially.
Right, but
if money is no object. Carm wants everybody there.
Right. Well, yes.
Is there a percentage you kids are going to have to pay? And when I say kids, I mean her.
Money is a factor, Steve. Let's put it like that.
Okay. Then maybe you start paring down the guest list.
Right. Now that's going on. But
now I'm
going
to give you a break right here. I love you.
Thanks,
Steve. You're the little brother I never asked for. I don't want you to invite me to the wedding. Unless I'm doing the service.
Okay.
Now, if I'm doing the service, obviously I'll show up because otherwise you're not going to get married.
Right.
But it might mess up your 4th of July weekend.
There's no question it would.
Is that what we're settling on?
Chelsea really wants you there, Steve. So do I. But, I told her, Steve Cochran does not want to come to this wedding. I promise you. She's like, no.
I'd like to go on a honeymoon with you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, depending on where you go.
Okay.
What is the major fight? Like, if you put one topic in the wedding, what are you fighting over?
We're battling out the venue right now.
The venue, okay.
Yeah.
So where do you want to have it? I mean, not specifically, but you want to do it at a hotel?
I like a wooded area, Steve.
You're not taking hostages. What do you mean a wooded area?
I want to have your guests walk a mile.
I want a nature-y feel.
Are you talking about that cult you're involved in Wisconsin?
No. That's not a bad idea, though, Steve. They've got some beautiful space up there.
You need a supper club wedding. Yeah. Out in the forest.
Right. Mary?
Yeah. I picture Carmen at a wedding where people say, yeah. Well, all right. So where is your wooded area?
She wants
area?
A hotel wedding.
How about a beach? How about we just go up like, you know,
there's no woods on a beach.
Well, okay. Let me see some water. How about that? How about just something?
Oh, so you want a destination wedding?
So environment is important to you. Your landscape is important to you.
Yeah.
How it looks.
Yeah. Like, you know, I grew up in the North Suburbs. How about like a Rosewood Beach? There's no structures around there.
I went to my cousin Zach's wedding in Tennessee. They did it in Nashville. And they did it outdoor in a farm and the whole bit. And I have to say, I had never been to something like that. That was gorgeous. It was like a painting. I was like, this is amazing.
I've been to many outdoor weddings. And as long as you have nice weather, it's perfectly fine. But you also run the risk on July 5th, it's going to be monkey crazy hot.
Right. That's a conversation that's had about... We've had about 10 times now.
And Chelsea has wavy hair. She could be dealing with a real messy hair situation.
And makeup.
I've heard all about. Yeah. I might be sweating, the whole thing, you know. Right.
So, what about a barn wedding? Everybody's doing those now.
So good.
Everybody's doing barn weddings.
I wanted the barn wedding, yeah. Mary.
Why are you involved in the discussion of the venue?
Well,
why don't you just say, this is how much I think we should spend, and just shut up?
Okay, so that's the other that was the conversation last night. So I'm like, look, if you really want it in this place, if you're really dead set on it, I will step back and I will be very happy and smiley the whole thing. But she's not quite there yet. I'm like, I really want it there. So then that brings it back out, and now I want. Let's go to.
Where's
the beach.
She leaning?
Venue
West.
Well, originally we were looking at this hotel right down the street.
Downtown Hotel.
Yeah, Downtown Hotel.
We'll just call it Downtown Hotel.
Yeah.
Don't give them any
free pub
until you get in negotiations for this.
No, I mean, unless you've got somebody you're willing to pimp right now. I just want you to be able to have a little money for the day after.
Steve, right.
So is that what we're looking at? Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to know, what wedding do you want to not attend? A barn wedding or a hotel wedding?
I would prefer not attending a hotel wedding.
Okay.
An outdoor wedding, it could be near a golf course somewhere, and I could blow out right after the ceremony.
Right.
Oh, or
that's where you're at right now. There's the outdoor wedding, the more rustic type wedding, and then the downtown Chicago posh.
Yeah.
Downtown hotel wedding.
Like the outdoor with a beautiful tent and like there's fresh goat cheese.
What about a compromise? Like the Ohio House.
I
got a free breakfast.
I don't mind the Ohio House.
Breakfast is gone, buddy.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, the breakfast is gone.
That went away.
Yeah.
Really?
I love fresh goat cheese.
Am I not paying any attention?
You know what? Let me see what I can
do. How about the Howard Johnson's on LaSalle? Is that still there?
That's still there.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know. I've been over there, but it seems like it's still there.
A chicken sandwich place went away too right there. That would have been a good consideration.
Yep.
Delicious.
When you guys fight, because you've been together long enough to have this trend build, do you stop talking? Does it get quiet? Or do you fight till you settle it?
We fight, stop talking, fight, stop talking.
How do you ever solve anything?
Settle it about 3 a.m. and then it's good. No. We're good. That was maybe earlier.
Mark, you've done a lot of training on this.
I have.
Yeah,
thank you,
this
Mary.
Is part of his cult.
Right.
They train for this type
of stuff.
But this
is not... I want to make this clear because I want to defend Mark. Thank you, Justin. That I feel like when we say argument back and forth, this is natural. This is what you're supposed to do to figure out what's the best thing for both of you to come together on
this
the right decision.
This is coming from another man who thinks his opinion matters when it really doesn't.
Maybe it doesn't, but maybe that's part of what you know. Mark needs is that he needs his opinion validated.
Listen, man, I love you. I just don't know why you want to be involved in all these decisions.
Just step back, huh? That's your thing? Just let life happen?
I'm not letting life happen. I'm just saying this is a party you're attending that happens to center around your beautiful bride, and it's great that you're there.
Okay, I'm working on that one, Steve.
So let it go, man. Let it go.
Just let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Okay. You're a bit of a control freak. You know how I know that?
How do you know that?
I'm a really big control freak. And I recognize you from the meeting.
Yeah, but doesn't Mark have to be comfortable? Like, he has to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. If he's really uncomfortable with a space that and a style, that's not going to be good for his day, a day that's important to him in his life.
I'm not...
It shouldn't be.
Really uncomfortable. I'm just...
But hasn't Chelsea also suggested a destination wedding? And you're the one that shot it down because you want everyone there.
That's
so
true.
So you're
too,
bringing this on yourself.
Yeah. That might be true.
Well, to be honest, your family has friends that are older and maybe not able to travel, right?
Right.
Well, I don't think Chelsea wants them to travel with them.
She does.
A smaller group.
Honestly, that is the ultimate truth of a destination wedding. Is I don't know how to tell you. I don't want to invite you. Let's go to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Well, so we could just, you know, I don't think many of my friends like marginally like me as it is. So if we went to like Wisconsin, you know, they probably wouldn't come.
All right, look, I've seen Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Suggest not three, two. Suggest two places that you would really love to discuss.
Okay. Two.
And just don't put any limits on the amount she gets to discuss. Have the discussion and just put a time limit on when you're going to decide. Just say, listen, if we're going to do this soon, we need to decide by. And that puts a little bit of fair pressure on both of you.
That conversation has been had, but you're adding on the two that I'm going to bring in.
Let me put it in terms you'll understand. Shot clock. Okay? So each of you get choices, but there's a shot clock on how long it takes to decide.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That's great, Steve.
All right. We'll come back and try to continue to save you from yourself shortly. Margaritaville, just before the Hawks play. Before we get to that, Carmen, I want to clear something up. Mark Carmen's here for Dave Bennett. Today is getting married. We just don't know where, when, or how many people are invited.
We know to who, though, Steve.
Very 630, good. Steve, I'm a female, and while the wedding has always been thought of as bride's day, it's his, capital H-I-S, his day, too. And if he just shuts up and deals, she'll think he doesn't care. He needs to be involved. It's a big day for him as well. I'm not advocating just shut up and deal. I'm saying express interest. I'm saying just don't fight about everything. It doesn't make sense. And don't get locked up. Or look, we were just talking about the band off the air. Make the band your thing. The band or the DJ. The band or the DJ. Just take control of one thing. You know, certainly answer her question. She wants you to go look at flowers with her. She wants you to go look at other things. It's great. But you know why every groom wears a black tux?
Because we're replaceable, Steve? Is that where you're going?
Well, that's a Seinfeld bit. Like, if you decide not to show up, the guy in the front, there's one guy just right next to you, can step in.
Slide him in?
No, because that's how big a part of the day we are. We don't have the... I mean, granted, you can have varieties of tuxes, but there's not a lot of thought put into the guy. The world doesn't put a lot of thought into the guy. I'm not saying it's her day. It's your day, too. You're getting married. But don't just... blow it up into something it's not. By the way, a bunch of other texters said just agree with whatever her mom says. That's a terrible idea. I mean, it's what she says.
Ah, right. I'm working on this, Steve. I think
you want to fight. I don't know.
What fight? They're having a healthy argument.
No, but I think Mark wants to fight. No, I think Mark specifically is looking for a fight.
I'm definitely not using the F word. We are not fighting. We are engaging.
Yeah,
so that's what the engagement's about.
Hold on.
To engage.
Hold on, let me see if the audience can hear my eyes roll.
this is part of the, as I said just a second ago, the engagement. Mm-hmm. We are seeing how we team together, Steve. We're working on, this is our first big project together. It's beautiful.
There you go. I like it. I like his attitude. I'm with Mark. I think he's doing it the right way.
Yeah, but you're not normal.
No, I am normal. I think it's 2019, and he's getting married. He's a little bit older than, you're not a millennial, but the idea that it's a new time. You have to engage. You have to be committed to this project. I love the way he said it's a project. They're working together on a project.
Right. He's the type that'll take paternity leave, because that's the thing to do now when you guys have a kid.
Sure. Well, that's fine. Yeah, yeah. I totally agree with that. Being a father is way more important than being a groom. But I would listen, texters, I'd love to hear from men, but you need to tell me how old you are. How big a deal do you think you should be in the planning of the wedding?
Why do we want the age?
We want the age because to see if there's actually an age split on this.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will own that I sat back on the original venue planning and I just wasn't really ready to do it. And now I'm sort of jumping in a little bit late because I just want to have I want to provide some options. Just something.
Now here's Sandberg to explain why that's a bad move.
Nothing is more frustrating than when you've done a lot of research and you've already got a set plan in your head and then somebody comes down. Johnny come lately is like, hey, well, what about this?
You especially if it's vague. What if it was outside?
Right.
And you're like, hey, dude,
you were on my side a second ago.
I know,
stay
but
with
I'm just saying, new information has come to light.
And you're throwing, you know, if you come to the table with facts, that's one thing. But if you're just throwing out ideas after I've already done the research and I've got specific numbers and you start saying, well, wait, what about this weekend? Excuse me, I've already looked at that weekend.
Yeah, you know what? And I'll give you a big picture example of this because I assume you're going to have kids and I think you'd be a great dad.
Thanks,
now,
Steve.
If in fact that happens at some point, maybe you'll be traveling in sports the way you do. I commuted on several occasions where I'd be out of town Monday through Friday and I'd come home on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
I made the mistake once. How many times? Once. Of coming home and going, why are we doing stuff this way?
Oh, oh my.
This
goodness.
Is after my wife was dealing with our kids 5 days a week while I was in another city.
Yeah.
I know your audience.
I would have been violent. If you would have said that to me.
Listen, the bruises healed.
That's also when Steve says he loved picking up kids from school because he never had to do it. So
that's
he loved the one time or so.
Well, the venue is only one part of this, Mark. So you're going to have a lot of other decisions, as you mentioned, the band or the DJ or the decorations. So my suggestion would be if you really think this to be a project, get in on that conversation at the beginning because I agree with Mary. If you're waiting till the end to put your input in, that's a lot more frustrating.
So you're saying to go all in on the Alan Parsons Project Bulls intro when we walk out and punt on everything else.
You could actually get the Alan Parsons Project for about $5,000.
Well,
so
then you're gonna listen to all.
Are you
their
gonna
songs.
Have like little Benny the Bull wedding favors?
I haven't talked to Benny yet, but that's a consideration.
Are you going for a sports theme on this thing? Tell me.
I know.
Chelsea a sports fan?
She loves sports. Yes, absolutely.
Look at me. Is Chelsea a sports fan?
She is, Steve.
Okay.
We're in a mixed doubles league. Come on. It's a Friday night.
Does Hamp and OB, do they get an invite to this?
Of course.
I was just saying,
I'm not risking my life.
I love the idea that Hamp's coming to your wedding. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, no chance he comes. But
you know what's funnier? That OB would come to the wedding.
OB, I think, might come.
What time is dinner?
Oh, yeah.
This dinner
Mark.
Is terrible. It's OB.
That's the funniest image ever. All right, we got to give away Hawks tickets, or Hawks convention passes, I mean.
Yeah, a pair of passes to the 2019 Blackhawks Convention presented by Magellan Corporation are on sale now. The 12th annual convention takes place at the Hilton Chicago this July 26th through the 28th. Highlights include player autographs, photo sessions, Steve, a Q&A.
Q&A, again, question and answer, not Quenneville and Anisimov.
Exhibits, interactive games, and much more. Visit Blackhawks.com for more info.
All right, so here's how we do this, because it's Margaritaville night before the game Friday night, and get there early. Enjoy yourself. Dress up the atrium.
The game is at 6:30, so you really have to get there early. It opens at 4.
It's happy hour time.
Yeah, come at 4.
Yeah, so get there and enjoy yourself, because there's going to be what amounts to a big Margaritaville party in the atrium, the big new entranceway to the building that connects the United Center. To what used to be the parking lot in the Jordan statue area. So here's the deal. You get there early, you have your Margaritaville party. So most of you have probably seen the Jimmy Buffett commercial by now. Mm-hmm. And you have to do to win these convention passes is to answer this question about booze.
Before we get there, I just wanted to say I just put two and two together. Last night, Mary texted the whole crew a picture of a drink. And I was like, well, someone's having fun on a Tuesday. And I was like. And I didn't realize it was because we were doing the margarita
right.
challenge.
We were at a Shiva, and then we had to go get dinner. And so I said a post-Shiva margarita.
And I was like, okay, well, that's like.
But because it was margarita week here,
right.
So that's why.
I've never heard a non-Jewish person say Shiva as easily as you just did. That was amazing.
She'd been to a lot of them lately.
I am on a roll.
I mean, it really rolled off the tongue. We were at a Shiva. I'm like, what?
All right, so are we ready for the question?
You can buy them all this year. Just Shiva stock.
Are you ready? What does margarita mean?
What does margarita mean?
Yes.
Well, it's interesting. I never thought about that. What does margarita mean? Mm-hmm. Huh.
Margarita.
I took 2 years of Spanish. You think I'd know? 312-981-7200 is the number. First correct answer wins the Hawks convention passes. And enjoy yourself if you're going to the game Friday night for Margaritaville night. All right, I believe we have a winner, or at least we're going to try to get one here. And where do you want me to go, Pete? You like Jeff, you like Joe, you like Diane. Who's first? It looks like it's Joe. And let's go to Joe. Joe,
you're Sam. Good morning. How you doing, guys?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm wonderful.
Hey,
thanks for listening. By the way, the funniest text I've seen, can OB do Carmen's bridal party announcement?
Oh, there
All right, here comes the best man and the bridesmaids, and what time do we eat?
Also, Hamp has a band, Texter pointed out, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
You can't afford him. All right, what's the question?
What does margarita mean, Joe?
Little Margaret.
That is true. So it's a Latin word. It's means pearl, borrowed from the Persians. The flower daisy is also called the margarita in Spanish, Greek, and other languages. It's also used in Albania.
So Greek, you're giving Bulgaria, it to him, Russia. Even though you didn't get the
and
answer
it's
right?
a variant of the Persian name Margaret. So,
oh, well, he's got to win then.
Yep.
Got to win. Hey, I think you got lucky there, Joe. So send us something too.
I'll do my best, Steve.
All right, man.
So
hold
he's
on.
He's going to the Hawks convention presented by Magellan Corporation, and you can go get your tickets at blackhawks.com for more info.
And now here's the cute kid that brought in the ring.
I could talk to Obi about this. I think he'd be very excited.
So great. Ooh, got to get this over Bears camp, Sean. Who think the Bears are going to Super Bowl?
This guy.
Let me hear ya.
This groomsman. He did a great job. He's the greatest guy on the team.
What kind of crap music is this disc jockey playing?
You have steak at a wedding. It's sir medium rare.
7:22. Steve, what's coming up?
No, we already
no,
did
we're
that.
That's
do
right.
The,
we did that. We did that. What are you talking about?
MVP.
That's what happens when you run this show on time. Throws me off completely. Most valuable person on the planet, Pete.
Hey.
Is it Ternus?
Ternus. Yeah, that's right.
Pete Ternus, co-founder of Middle Brow Beer Company. Middle Brow Beer is seeking former inmates to work at the new Logan Brew Pub. I think that's a great idea. Where's the inspiration come from?
You know, we just sort of felt like craft beer was this big luxury, and all this eating out that everyone's doing these days is so luxurious and fun. We should try to balance it out with a little, you know, by throwing something good out there.
They've donated more than half of their gross profits of each beer released to local organizations that help women's health and work on violence prevention, amongst other causes. It's over $20,000 already. That's great, Pete.
Yeah, no, it's been we consider ourselves lucky to have the chance to work with some really great organizations in this city and have met some amazing, really kind of shockingly courageous people along the way. So yeah, it's been a total trip.
Pete,
I'm excited to go ahead.
No, sorry. Go ahead, please.
I was just going to say we're excited to kind of move beyond just making donations, though. We're, you know, we've got our own space here, and we're you know, we're doing things like the work training program, and we're hosting a free breakfast for CPS kids and their families this coming Saturday, and you know, hope to make that a weekly thing in the near future. So anyway, yeah, we're excited to be doing some fun work in Chicago.
Pete, that was my question. Just a lot of businesses will have charitable donations, and they'll write a check, and they'll make it a big part of their business plan and their business strategy. Why not just do that? Why not just donate to different organizations?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really terrific way to stay involved with you know, your friends and neighbors in whatever part of the city you're establishing your business. It's necessary, and we'll continue to do it. You know, I think there's a little bit of, if you're only doing that, there's a little bit of it feels sort of alienating, I suppose, because you write a check and then it's hard to sort of stay in touch with, the organization after that. And it's not your fault or their fault, but everyone's just busy and there's, you know, they have to continue looking for more funds and, you know, you have to do your work. And if there's a way to sort of fold your work into, you know, into something that, that's active on the ground, on the sort of street level, you know, you're sort of then constantly reminded about your about that part of your broader business mission, about the sort of social or I suppose charitable is the wrong word, but you're socially conscious.
It's good.
Socially conscious, maybe side of your business plan. Yeah. Anyway, that's
yeah, and it's self propelling. I mean, what you're talking about has its own momentum. You know, you start giving the way you're giving, and every time you release a new beer, it's all good. So where do people go to buy your beer?
Yeah. So right now, we just opened up our brew pub in Logan Square. It's approximately Armitage in California. And you can get, you can buy our beer here on draft or in cans, but
what's it called?
A long time, we're called Middlebrow, and the space is called Bungalow, like an old Chicago bungalow.
Yeah. Why Middlebrow?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. We thought, in the early days we were way more likely to, jump on a clever pun when we saw one. So anyway, we thought, you know, craft beer isn't exactly lowbrow, and it may never achieve highbrow status, but middlebrow kind of works, you know?
And I like Bungalow is like a coffee shop, and you can get pizza, you can get bread and things during the day, and then you can get the beer at night.
Exactly, yeah. We're like four things, at least right now. We've got a bakery going in the early morning, and we sell retail bread throughout the morning and all day. Along with toasts in the morning and coffee, of course, and then lunchtime, we've got some options in the sandwich family. Let's just say open face sandwiches or something like that. And then pizzas spin up around 3:30 p.m. and go all night.
Yeah. He's speaking everything I like: bread, sandwich family, pizza,
booze,
a good micro beer. Yeah, and I think an important thing you said, former inmates, is a lot of times those they need a first chance at a start.
Very difficult to get a job.
So once they work for you, they could go on, you know, and work for somewhere else because now they've get some experience.
Someone else took a chance on them. Good for you, man.
That's exactly right. And I think second chances are really important too. And that's what's you know, what we're doing here is not only will we try to hire people from certain at-risk populations, but we'll, we may be a little bit more generous with them in the sense that, if they make a mistake that someone else made, you know, they might not get, you know, they get that second chance. They get a chance to learn and to make that mistake. When they're late, they might not get written up right away. They just, first they sit down with a social worker or with us, and we talk them through why being late isn't acceptable, and then, you know, you kind of you make it you empower them to maintain this job and then also future jobs that they get.
Have you done a beer called Second Chance yet?
No, we haven't actually. That's a good idea.
Write it down. That's a freebie for you.
I will.
Listen, thanks, and everybody should support Middlebrow Brewery at the Bungalow. And again, where is it?
It's in Logan Square, at near the corner of Armitage and California.
Thanks for being on. There you go. That's our most valuable person on the planet. Meanwhile, OB continues to announce Carmen's wedding. The audition's going on in a studio nearby. Time for the chicken dance. The daddy-daughter dance coming up. I always cry at that one. 728. Back with your headlines next. 720 WGN. I went a little old school in the ringtone this week.
Spending a lot of time.
Trump's been calling me on the weekends.
Oh, wow.
I don't pick up. I let it go to voicemail.
Does he leave voicemails?
Yeah, generally. Yeah, he doesn't know how to check them. You know, part of that deal. good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
Yes, Mabel. Could you connect me to Steve Cochran, please?
I'm already here, sir.
Oh, hey. Tremendous to have me on, Cochran. Mm-hmm. And a happy belated President's Day to me, too.
Oh, without a doubt. Monday was President's Day.
I will tell you, Mike Pence felt a little left out, so I'm declaring today Vice President's Day.
Oh, thank you, Your Eminence.
It's well-deserved, Mike. Nobody suffers in silence like you do.
It's a labor of love, sir.
Now go get my clubs ready for the golf simulator, Mike.
You're playing Mitch McConnell at Augusta in 10 minutes, my liege.
God, I love technology.
So, Mr. President, you declared a national emergency to try to get money for the border wall. People aren't happy about it going around Congress, talking about it's a terrible idea. What do you say?
Donald J. Trump's National Emergency. Now, that would be a bigly great title for an action movie. Am I right? They should start casting for it immediately. And because I have executive privilege, I'm going to have them get one of them Hemsworth brothers to play me. Liam or Chris. Whichever one was Thor.
I'd see you more as a rock.
Yeah, that could work, too.
All right.
You know, to answer the critics, I say, relax. I'm getting money for the wall. from almost completely insignificant sources, like the Disaster Relief Fund for Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. I mean, that storm is so 2 years ago. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if they're still not done hitting us up for money, then it's going to be some kind of Ponzi scheme at this point. I mean, it really does.
And then this woman, Ann Coulter, I'm no fan of throwing shade at you. She says the only national emergency is that our president's an idiot. What do you say to that?
What the hell's the matter with that woman? And I use that term woman loosely, believe me.
And then you got Alec Baldwin back at it, did a very funny clip on you, Saturday Night Live, over the weekend. Did you see it?
Look, Saturday Night Live is so incredibly pathetic, and so is that talentless hack, Alec Baldwin. I mean, there's nothing worse than having to sit there while some loser tries to do a third-rate impression of me. That I can tell you. For the record, I don't repeat things for added emphasis. I don't repeat things for added emphasis.
No, you certainly don't. Your former deputy and acting FBI director, Andrew McCabe, is doing his book tour this week, doing interviews all over the place. He said it's still possible that you could be a Russian asset, that you've committed crimes like obstruction of justice. Anything else you want to say about McCabe?
McCabe, what a piece of work this guy is. Where did he learn to fight crime, from Starsky or Hutch? He says I'm possibly a threat to the U.S. A threat? Yeah. Hell, I got looks, brains, and huge hands. I'm a triple threat. I got it all. Just ask me. Seriously, McCabe and the failing New York Times are pushing fake news, guys. There's no obstruction. I didn't obstruct anything. What I did is not obstruction. Now, when Rosie O'Donnell sits in front of you at a Cher concert, that's obstruction. That's called I want a ticket refund obstruction. Believe me.
I think you're just kind of distracting here. But, sir, a New York Times story says you've been using your Justice Department to try and control the investigations that are going on concerning you, your campaign, your administration.
That's not true. It's wrong. Although I am going to miss my former acting Attorney General, Matt Whitaker. He did my bidding, or his best, like no one else. He's staying on at Justice, too, by the way. Ironically, his Justice Department login password is Lex Luthor.
It does look like him. Is there any truth to the story that you asked Prime Minister Abe of Japan to get you a Nobel Prize?
You know, frankly, I can't think of a better person who's more deserving of a Peace Prize than I am. I really can't. No. I mean, Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize, and he almost started a war with North and South Korea. Now, I've only brought them both together. Together. No war. But next week, when I meet with Kim Jong Oompa Loompa, we're going to eat buckets of KFC for lunch and go shopping for new outfits for our joint summit press conference. What's more peaceful than that, Cochran? And as a goodwill gesture, I'm going to buy him a hand-tailored suit from the Little Stout Men's Warehouse. He's going to like the way he looks. That I can tell you.
That's a great slogan. And finally, Senator Bernie Sanders kicked off his 2020 campaign. I know you say his time has passed, but anything else to add?
Newsflash, Cochran. Bernie Sanders is not running. He's riding for president.
What does that mean?
He'll be the first candidate to spend his entire time on the campaign trail in one of those little rascal scooters.
Well, it could be.
It's either that or his feet swell up. No choice. Now, look, I don't want to say Bernie's old, but the first thing he says at every campaign stop is, now, why did I come here again? I mean, Bernie's so old, Joe Biden doesn't get his pop culture references. You know how you can tell Bernie Sanders is too old to campaign for president? His campaign bus is constantly leaving the left turn signal on. Blinkers on.
As always, it's been a delight, President Trump.
Later, loser.
Yeah. Those are the hands we're in. It is 7:43. Steve Cochran Show continues next on 720 WGN.
Let's go, 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 White Sox. Chicago's proud of you.
Which side do we wake up Kevin Powell in the desert? In the desert? You know, if he's in the desert, in Arizona,
and see
if we get some answers on this White Sox situation. Now they got nothing but money to spend. What are they going to spend it on? Stuff like that. Good morning, Kev.
Morning, Steve. You can wake me up anytime.
Awfully early for a baseball guru to be up in the desert.
I was already up getting ready to head out to camp. So it's a little bit of news yesterday, Steve. You may have heard.
Did hear. Good riddance. So what do we do with the money now?
Well, if you're going to go all in on Machado, at least sort of, you know, from their vantage, they went all in. You might as well at least try to pursue Bryce Harper again, right? I mean, that's the next big free agent.
Right,
so if you're willing to spend anywhere from $250 to $350 million on Machado, why wouldn't you do the same with Bryce Harper? These are two guys who are on track for the Hall of Fame. They're still in their prime. That's why the Sox went all in on Machado. They missed, obviously. So at this point, it's regroup, move on from Machado, and go after Harper. I mean, right now it sounds like Harper and the Phillies are the, you know, it's just between them two at this point. But look, the Padres came out of nowhere about a week ago, and they won the Machado sweepstakes. So maybe the White Sox can do the same with Harper. Maybe that's wishful thinking for Sox fans. I realize a lot of Sox fans are frustrated today and yesterday, but go for Harper. Go all in on Harper.
Kev, we need pitching. What about a Dallas Keuchel? What about a Gio Gonzalez? What about a Clay Buchholz?
Or what about those actual guys?
Yeah, I mean, they're all
Keuchel's 30. Yeah, I mean, most of those guys, those aren't franchise-altering type contracts or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, Keuchel's 31. Gio, the guy who's been... He was traded away by the Sox twice in the early part of his career. Sure. I mean, they're going to have money to spend. I mean, maybe Marwin Gonzalez, that's a name I've been throwing around there. He's the ultra-utility guy that won a World Series with the Astros, and he can play any position from outfield to infield. I'm telling you, every single position. So for a team that's kind of in flux with who's their starters, who's not the starters, plus he's a veteran-type guy he can bring in, that's just a name I've been throwing out there, but I don't think people are really focused on some of these smaller free agents when you just missed out on Machado. But yeah, it's time to move on. And they can look at some of the starting pitchers, Karma. It's really going to feel kind of hollow at this point after missing on Machado.
So we make Maybe our...
We all need a good cry, don't we?
Yeah, we make our transition here, Kev, to... we're back to the rebuild because a lot of the focus and attention will be on the rookies. Jimenez, of course, Nick Madrigal, who we were just talking off air, you know, has only seen, single A ball in his young career. But is that what White Sox fans should focus on, the fact that we might see some of this talent coming up this year?
Because they missed out on Machado, you mean?
Yeah.
That they might fast-track him a little bit? I don't know if that's really going to change the plan. You're going to see Eloy probably in late April. You'll see Dylan Cease at some point. Zach Collins, the catcher, yesterday I talked to him, and he basically said he'd be disappointed if he didn't get called up. He's been in the system for a few years now. So, yeah, you're definitely going to see some guys. I don't know if they necessarily fast-track anyone just because they missed on Machado. I think in some ways that might be a little bit irresponsible on the Sox part because – 2020 still was the target. I mean, look, if they sign Machado, it's not like they're going to the World Series. This is baseball. The Angels have been to the playoffs once with Mike Trout. It's Babe Ruth and then Mike Trout, basically, and they've been to the playoffs once with him.
And speaking of Mike Trout, when is his free agency? Is it next year or is it 21?
After next year, I want to say it is. So there's still two more seasons. Next year, 2021, so the Angels still have him for two or three more years. But
all right, I think we can agree that when Mike Trout comes out, he is going to be making $1 bazillion guaranteed. And he'll be worth $1 bazillion. So is there anything to be said for play it out, win 50 games, dough, and spend it all on Trout?
I'd be okay with that. I just think at this point... Yeah, I'd be okay with that. If Manny Machado's worth $300 million, Mike Trout's worth like double that in my book. I'm not even kidding. That's how good I think Mike Trout is. Maybe that's the route they go. Look, I think one of the way Rick Renteria put it yesterday was somebody asked him, look, if you're not going to buy superstars, make your own superstars. And teams have done that. The Astros have done that. The Cubs have done that. Make your homegrown talent superstars. They've got a lot of talent in the farm system. So if you're not going to sign any of these free agents, turn your own players into superstars.
Okay.
White Sox fans are looking for something to hold on to.
Wait, Mark Harmon is in here shaking his head.
The whole signing somebody to a 10-year deal, I'll read them again. Alex Rodriguez got two 10-year deals. They were both disasters.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols got a 10-year deal, disaster. Robinson Cano.
Right. Here's the difference, Carm. I'll stop you there. Here's the difference. Manny Machado, 26.
See, then people say how old was Jason Hayward? 26. I mean, like,
but Hayward was nowhere near where what people think Manny Machado are. Nobody thought Jason Hayward was a Hall of Fame player. Machado was on the direct path to the Hall of Fame.
But there was a lot of competition for Hayward at the time. He got 8 years and $184 million.
Right, but that's a different sort of market. I mean, right now it's Machado and Harper, and Harper and Machado are way better than Jason Hayward, and everybody knew that. It's not like anybody thought Hayward was even close to where Machado and Harper were at this point. Everybody, even when they signed Hayward, everyone thought it was they probably overpaid for
him. Okay, so Carms, if you don't play that game, that long-term guaranteed game, then you're not in any of them.
Yeah.
Right. That's a great, exactly. Exactly right. I mean, you don't pass up an opportunity to sign a guy in his prime. The Sox said it themselves. The Sox came out and said, we'll be disappointed if we don't sign one of these guys.
That's why I'm such a fan of collusion outside of the White House. I think collusion should exist everywhere other than in politics.
I just want to make one more mention on Manny Machado. For his career, he's a 280 hitter with a 330 on base. He is hit over 300 one time in his career. I get that he's 26, yeah. And I get that people love him. He's also a guy who is allergic to hustling at times. I personally wouldn't have done it. I know the White Sox tried. I know they wanted him, but I think it's going to work out better for him that they didn't get him.
He hit 50 home runs this year.
You could be completely right. I mean, I think there are a lot of people that are on board with that. That it's almost impossible to justify a 10-year deal. It's almost impossible.
Unless it's offered to me. So what do you do? What do you do? How do you fix this? I mean, do you just accept that you're going to lose 100 games this year?
I still think they're going to be much better than they were last year, even without Machado. But, you know, once Harper signs, then all the dominoes are going to fall. And the Sox are still going to sign some guys. Like I said, you know, some of those names Carmen mentioned, maybe they pursue them. There's not a ton of other guys out there. I mean, they're especially compared to Harper and Machado. But I think
what about Joe Ricketts? Joe Ricketts available?
Sure, you can make a run.
I mean, it's a controversial signing. I'll be honest with you, but
right, yeah. The Sox didn't hide their disappointment yesterday. I mean, Kenny Williams was. We were out in the backfield, and everybody's just staring at their phone because everybody's phone is blowing up when we got the news. And then I saw Kenny Williams walk over to Rick Renteria, and they were talking. Rick Renteria kind of slumped his shoulders, so I'm like, okay, Kenny just told Rick. And then Kenny walked over to his golf cart, and then the media went over there and talked to him. And he's like, I'm shocked. I'm stunned. He said yesterday morning, one of the position coaches actually came up to us and said, well, I can't. He goes, tell me what happened. And we said, Machado's going to the Padres. He was like, wow. We're sitting around the offices this morning before we came out here, and we legit thought we were signing Manny Machado today.
Okay, my only question, and I know I put you on the spot, Kev, but could you name what the starting lineup is going to look like for the White Sox in opening day? Like, who's playing where? Because I'm confused.
Yeah, I'll give you.
Yeah, give me.
Yeah, first it'll be Jose Abreu. Second it'll be Yelmer. Short it'll be Tim Anderson. Third it'll be Moncada. Your catcher's Wellington Castillo. The outfield, your DH will be Yonder Alonso. Center field could be anywhere from the outfield, kind of where it's yeah, kind of not exactly clear. I mean, there's John Jay, there's Adam Engel, Nicky Delmonico.
Polka's in left, damn it. Gotta be it. Polka mania. Come on.
Yeah, you're right. So maybe Polka in left center is Engel and right's Jay, maybe something like that. So.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it, baby. And let's think of Bryce Harper. He'll be in right field.
And that's why we're really looking forward to Four Leaf Lucky Clover Night at Guaranteed Right Field. 847 says White Sox fans are frustrated. How about showing up for a game? 2018 attendance, Padres 2.15 million, White Sox 1.6 million, 20,000 empty seats per game.
Well, have you been to San Diego Stadium and the climate in San Diego?
It's a little different.
Yeah, it's
there.
A little different. That's not fair to say that in Southern California they draw more to outdoor sports.
They have a lot
events.
Of dog days where you bring your dog to the Petco.
They got that Tony Gwynn statue.
Listen, you're right, and I don't disagree that more Sox fans could show up for games, but you got to put a better product on the field.
I agree with both. Hey, Wednesday night's Dollar Hot Dog Night, folks. You don't want to miss that.
Don't leave them all for Kevin.
Don't point at the White Sox fans. That's unfair. They're coming out sometimes.
Listen, baseball guru, nice job by you. And where will you be reporting from today?
I'm actually going to head to Cubs camp, see if they have anything to say about where free agency is at. Adam Hogue has arrived. He's touched down in Arizona, so he'll be at Camelback today. And if there's any major news out of Sox Park, I'll be over there. But I'm going to be at Cubs. He'll be at Sox. So.
Who's your big broadcaster out?
Kevin Powell in Arizona, WGN Sports.
Yeah, pretty good. Not bad.
That's great, man.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should.
there, Tiger?
Sounds like you have a bit of a cold.
I'll be all right.
What's that cough about?
It's this cough that I have that won't go away.
We're going to see if we can get some tests run on you.
Yeah.
Did you get a flu shot, Dean?
I did not.
Why?
I don't know.
We'll get one now. We'll hold.
Hang on a second. Am I supposed to take my pants off for a flu shot?
No, you're at the wrong doctor's office. all right, look, this Jussie Smollett story. Ugh. What the hell is going on here?
Well, I don't know. And, I've been avoiding trying to speculate on this. It's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine, not just with this case, but other cases as well, where people and media speculate before facts are actually in. There have been a lot of anonymous sources on this. I don't know what's going on. Nobody else knows what's going on. But my feeling on this is until police issue their official reports, then we can make some assumptions on what did or did not happen. So, what's happening today is that the Chicago police officially are saying that he is officially not a suspect right now.
Smollett
is not officially a suspect in anything right now. They're continuing investigation. They still want to talk to him again. The grand jury, he may appear before a grand jury today. Those are all things that, may happen today. And really, that's really all that we know.
And honestly,
everything
that's,
else has
that's,
come
that's,
from anonymous.
That's all we should be involved with, because here's a bulletin. None of us are in the investigation rooms. None of us are privy to whatever evidence does or doesn't exist. And we weren't there. Yeah. So we got to stop solving crimes on the internet.
But yeah, it's not it's the media. It's not the internet. The CBS, ABC, 7, and these are all big things that have had.
What do you mean it's not? Social media, every genius on social media, on Twitter, and Instagram, and Facebook, they all have the answers.
But the headlines that are making news from New York Post to LA Times to Chicago Sun-Times or ABC, 7, Fox, and CBS here are all saying this is a hoax. Law enforcement officials say this is a hoax. They're using anonymous sourcing from the police department. But the point being, it's well past the point of just people on Twitter going, I don't think he did it.
Well, you just let him off the hook. I'm saying that the social media doesn't have the answers. Big shock.
Yeah, it's past that point, but that's also part of, and not just this case, where a hint of a story comes out, and everybody and every blog and every gossip site and every everything has decided, and they convict and lock away a person before anyone gets any due process. I think that's a real flaw with the internet.
And here's the problem: you can't fix it. Here's the other thing: if he did in fact set this up, it will come out, and his career's over.
Yeah, his career's over, and it. Well, I don't even want to say.
Is Empire cutting him out of the show?
Well, they're not cutting him out of the show, but according to TMZ, they've greatly reduced his visibility on the show. He was supposed to be, the episode that they're filming this week, he was supposed to have a huge musical number. That's been cut. He was supposed to be in 9 scenes this week. That's been cut to 5. So, whether it's related to all that's going on with him legally, I don't know. But that's the report that's coming from TMZ and some other sources that I just said that we don't want to pay attention to.
Right. Well, let's talk about some good news. BTS is coming to Chicago, and Dean and I will be front row.
Cannot wait.
I saw them at the Jingle Bash.
What?
Yeah, they performed.
What?
Was it good? Could you hear it?
The Jingle Bash. When you worked at B96, that was at 2012?
No, went this year.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get you off the hook from going to B96 concerts.
It was too loud, yeah. Dean, you nailed it. You could barely hear it because it was all girls shrieking. There was a girl that was sitting next to my husband that said the entire performance, I love you so much, I love you so much, but screamed it.
Did Pat love her?
No, he was...
Oh, they're talking to the band.
Yeah, to the band.
Oh, yeah, I thought she loved your husband.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Steve used to do that at Bobby Vinton concerts.
I love you so much.
In Polish. He would say it in Polish. It was very touching. But I've been, when the Twilight movies came out, and then there was that same sort of teenage hysteria. I've never heard high-pitched screaming like that. Same when... with One Direction, when their movie came out, Bieber's movie came out, there is an hysteria and a high-pitched sound that a teenage girl makes that really could be used as a weapon against the next enemy of the United States of America. It's painful.
Let me dial you back to the early 90s when Debbie Gibson first breaks, right? Before she had her first couple of hits, she was huge. Teenage girls loved her as well. I was given an insane amount of money to open for her. I said, what am I going to do in front of a Debbie Gibson concert? And I said, how much? I went and did 15 minutes in front of her. There's nothing but screaming.
Just screaming.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they thought it was funny. Maybe they didn't. The point is, you can't detect laughs when people are screaming.
People are just screaming.
There was like nine parents who were going, oh, this is great. That's so funny. I wish Steve could hear us.
I have so much
screaming. By the way, it's the only time I've had a room full of teenage girls screaming at me, including when I was a teenager.
I have so much respect for any comedian that opens for any kind of band because people are there to see the music, and then some guy comes out trying to tell jokes.
I'm
in a big arena. It never works.
No,
Mary, you saw them. Did that group, this K-pop group, this boy band,
BTS,
did they do bigger than the other acts around Jingle Bash, or was it all the same?
No, they weren't. They weren't the, Cardi B was the
interesting.
Yeah, Ariana Grande, Camila Cabello, who you've
so they got bigger responses for Camila Cabello and Cardi B than
you
BTS.
Well, Shawn Mendes got it.
By the way, the regular WGN listeners, if you send us $2, we'll explain what you two are talking about and give you a translation.
Yeah. We have a translator ring you can send in for.
It was pretty much all screaming the whole four-hour show. So
imagine what this is going to be like. Yeah. BTS at Soldier Field.
Shut up, really?
They're doing a show, Soldier Field, on May 11th.
Are they selling out stadiums?
Well, yes, they are. They're doing huge stadiums like that in 8 cities around the world. That's it. Chicago happens to be one of them.
Oh, thank God.
Tickets are going to go on sale March 1st. So Steve and I will both be off that day because we're going to stand in line a couple of days ahead of time and camp out.
Totally. Stand by, Dean. More from you in a moment here on More on Entertainment.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 97.
Back to Dean. More on entertainment because we give you more on entertainment from a couple of mornings. Oscars are this Sunday. I want to get to that with you in a second, but thank God we have an Ariana Grande update. What's going on there?
This is a big day for her because she's got 3 songs that are in the Billboard Top 100 right now. Which
good for her.
That's a pretty big deal.
That is a big deal.
Brand new album that's out, and to have 3 songs on the Top 100, but these 3 songs that are in the top 100 are number 1, number 2, and number 3.
Wow.
That has not happened since the Beatles did it
in
1964 with Can't Buy Me Love, Twist and Shout, and Do You Want to Know a Secret?
That's 55 years ago.
What are the 3 songs? Do we know what the 3 songs are?
Number 3 is Thank You Next.
Yeah.
Number 2 is Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored.
And number 1 is Wheels
on
the Bus.
Song, don't you, Steve? Break up with your girlfriend, I'm bored. Cha-cha-cha.
And number 1 is Wheels on the Bus?
Is Seven Rings.
Which is the favorite things melody.
Right. That's the one that they she wasn't allowed to sing on the Grammys caused that controversy.
Is that where we're at in the music industry, where we're just going to cover that song?
I have a video of my husband singing that in the car last night. We love that song.
I wonder how much that would be worth if you released that in the sports world.
Yeah, he won't.
Here's Pat Boyle singing Ariana Grande.
So he hasn't nailed all the parts yet, but he likes the part where you like my hair. Thanks, I just bought it. That part, so he's got that, but he's got to work on the rest of the
hair. I can tell you right now that based on Pat's standards, that's his worst nightmare, that you release that video.
I will not be releasing that. I think he's listening now. I will not be releasing that.
Lady Gaga has broken off another engagement. Is the problem her, Dean? What's going on here?
Oh, no. Lady Gaga is delightful.
Why can't Lady Gaga find love that lasts?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if she jumped into this latest one a little too quickly. She walks around
the house wearing meat suits? What's happening
here? For a lot of guys, that's a turn-on. For a lot of guys, you don't want to smell Cotto salami all the time.
I love Lady Gaga, and regardless of what a nightmare she may be in a relationship, I'm taking her side.
I am too. I like her, but her representative has confirmed that the engagement to talent agent Christian Carino is over. It said it didn't work out. I think she jumped into this too quickly. You know, people come to me all the time, Dean, you review movies for a living. Please give us romance advice. You
right.
clearly are an expert on
right,
that.
Right, of course.
I think, you know, after she broke up with Taylor Kinney from Chicago Fire.
Good guy. We like him.
We do like him very much. But she jumped right into this Christian Carino guy so quickly. So... I'm sorry it didn't work out. I wish them both the greatest
this
happiness.
This is really good, though, for the Bradley Cooper rumor.
Right.
Right, just ahead the of the Oscars. This is really, really good right for Bradley Cooper Oscars, dumping his Sports Illustrated supermodel girlfriend.
A lot of people have said when the story came out, ooh, I hope they get together.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Gaga and Bradley Cooper get together.
And it's not like publicists set this stuff up. It's all about real love. Real love.
Dean,
and
have we
sing
heard
the song Shallow in Real Life?
I'm not making this up. On the way in this morning with snow-covered roads, icy roads, I'm singing Shallow at the top of my lungs in the car.
Really?
Now, the weird part is it was on the business thing this morning.
Do you do the Bradley Cooper version and then let Gaga?
I do both parts.
I see Steve doing the Gaga parts with great vigor.
You should see me harmonize with myself. It's quite something.
Can I just say... Wait, do we know where the ring went? Can I just ask about the ring?
What ring?
The engagement ring. Do we know what happened?
Sure, it's on eBay.
What did it look like, Mayor? I don't remember.
It was the purple stone with the diamonds around it. I don't know if she kept the heart shape from Taylor. I don't know if...
I do not.
Sorry, Justin.
eBay.
Do not have a ring update. I'm guessing she doesn't need to keep a ring, does she?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Okay, I have one pet peeve issue with that song, Shallow. Miss for Dean and Steve, who I know are huge fans of.
It's too short.
It's a short song. That would be a peeve as well. But the issue I have is that they pipe in fake amphitheater sound behind it. So when you're listening on the radio, you hear a crowd like cheering.
Oh, because
like,
it's taken from the movie.
But
the soundtrack.
I get it, but that's fake. that's fake. It's
seriously, you're calling
it's
fake music?
It's fake music.
Fake music?
Fake music. I don't understand that. I'm like, why do you need that in the radio play version of the song?
You know.
Right.
It helps Steve when he's doing a performance in the car.
You know what you'd love to see? You guys would all love to see this. In the Shallow, hello. I nailed that part.
Totally Justin good. Wants it to be played on
here you go, Steve.
Like,
hold on, I'll sing
banjo.
I'll do it.
No, I'm just saying. Listen, when they play it, when he says,
tell
singing.
Me something, boy.
I thought you were a disc jockey. Your timing's terrible.
I know. I'm rusty.
Take a step back. Relax.
Tell me something, girl.
I'm doing the Gaga part.
Are you happy in this modern world?
All right, shut it off. I'm going to cry.
Break like up it. With your fiancé.
Easy. The Kendrick Lamar song.
And better. Who I gets the ring? How great would it be if Obi did that?
Yeah.
Tell me something, boy. Are you happy in the modern world or what?
Is she
Who is this?
Hey, Dean, is she and Bradley Cooper, are they set to perform at the Oscars?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, it's going to be
pipe
great.
The music,
yes,
the cheering in.
It's going to be
that.
Great.
Yep.
All right. And one other love note that was just passed on to me, it kind of ties to the Ariana Grande Gaga discussion. And I'm going to announce this today. I'm now dating Pete Davidson just for the publicity.
Ooh,
wow.
Yeah, because it seems like if you date Pete Davidson, you get a lot of publicity, so I'm doing that.
If you look carefully at this week's SNL at Pete Davidson, you'll see that he's now got a tattoo on his neck that says, Steve.
He's got to change it.
I got masking tape that I wrote Pete on. All right, so there's a theory about the Oscars Sunday night.
Yes.
That when they open... Whoopi's going to walk out as a surprise host. Is there any truth to that?
I've heard that rumor. Nobody knows.
What's your gut? What's your entertainment show business gut?
My gut is that she is not.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think it's going to be the show's going to open. Queen's going to perform. Adam Lambert and then no host surviving members of Queen, and they bring out the first two presenters.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And I mean this, if Johnny Carson and Bob Hope came out, that'd be really cool.
Hologram.
Wheel them out.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
I'll be in Los Angeles talking to you tomorrow.
Of course you will, Mr. Junket. We'll talk to you live from L.A.
Me and Captain Marvel will be talking to you tomorrow.
Oh, good. We'll order him breakfast. It's 8:29. We are back with the headlines next on 720 WGN. I had a couple of cool stories I was going to bring your way, but my computer just restarted for no reason.
I can bring a story to you if you want.
What do you got?
Mark Harmon shared it with me. There's a teacher in Florida that was fired because she gave her kids zeros.
Mm. Because she gave her kids zeros. Why was she fired?
No
because,
zeros allowed.
Yeah, it's a no-zero school policy, so even if they don't turn stuff in, you should give them 50%. But she says that doesn't prepare them for the world.
Why would you give them 50% for not doing the work?
The school doesn't allow zero.
Because you didn't even half-ass it. You didn't do it at all.
You didn't do anything.
This is probably, I mean, I don't want to get all serious about it, but this is also an issue about how state funding works. I don't know how it works in Florida, but if you give zeros and then the school reports zeros, then they lose funding because they showed zeros. So the school may be having a
monetary. What do you mean, grade-wise?
Yeah. So if it, that's how it works in Illinois,
almost
too.
Like an attendance
type thing. If you get bad, if your school gives bad tests or bad grades, that has an effect on how much funding you get.
I think this is more snowflakey, though, isn't it?
She left a note on the board to the kids. Bye, kids. Mrs. Tirado loves you and wishes you the best in life! Exclamation point. I have been fired for refusing to give you a 50% for not handing anything in. Love, Mrs. Tirado.
This, to me, sounds like everybody gets a ribbon. Isn't that the point of the story?
I mean, yes, that's what she says. You're not preparing them for life when everybody thinks they should get paid.
But what? Why would they not accept a zero? I don't understand. Why
well, because it hurts kids' feelings.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't see why a kid would have their feelings hurt over a zero or a 50.
Her quote is, I'm so upset because we have a nation of kids that are expecting to get paid and live their life for showing up, and that's not real.
See, I've thought about this for a long time, though, because my kids are the front edge of this. And Vanderbilt, I don't know if you've given us any thought because our kids are the same age. But if our kids grew up in an era where everybody got a trophy and everybody got a ribbon, then for their careers, they're working for people in all likelihood who got a trophy and got a ribbon. So if they're entering that world, maybe there's no downside to it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't
know.
Yeah. But the impetus for the school to say no zeros, you think that's a trophy and a ribbon thing?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. Because if a kid got a 50, they could go, I tried. They tried, and the teacher didn't like me.
And it's so funny, because it's not preparing them. Like, my son is in the middle of taking the CPA, and it's a very hard, it's a four-part test. And if you don't pass at 75, I mean, at 72, they're not letting you pass.
Yeah,
and they shouldn't. So then it's tough. And same with the nursing tests and, you know, the bar, all those tests
are so hard. I would buy it's a snowflake thing if there were no grades in general. I think it has much more to do with standardized, what it costs, like what the school, the cost of a zero to the school.
I totally agree.
And I would say that if that is the case, then the school and the funding, the way they all tie the funding together, is not serving the kids either.
Absolutely. You can make that. Here's what they do in CPS, or at least in the school that we do. If my son gets a zero because he missed a homework assignment, he has the time. I think this is standard, and I think this is something that goes way back for everybody. But if he turns it in a day late, there's a percentage off it. 2 days late, more percentage. 3 days late, 5 days late, nothing. Zero. So there's a late grade curve, meaning, you know, he gets a 70. The best he can do is 75 if he turns it in 2 days late.
That's how it was.
It's a different, you know, the 70s were a decade that many of you remember, and it was different then, because if you got zero because you didn't turn something in, your dad would smack you in the head. You know, it's different now. It's just a different time. Times change. Dads change.
I remember when I got a 44 on a science test in fourth grade. I survived. Came back strong.
And look at you now.
Were you given a chance to retake that test?
I don't think I was. I think I was shamed at parent-teacher conferences. Your son got a 44 on a science test. You're a terrible parent.
Listen, I do believe there should be... I'm not talking about hitting kids. I never hit my kids. I don't think anybody should hit kids. But healthy fear is gone. Kids don't fear upsetting their parents because too many parents will defend their kids regardless of whether they did wrong or right. Healthy fear needs to exist. The fear of embarrassment, the fear of disappointing, the fear of having your mother or father shake their heads.
There's still
at
a lot
you.
Of fear. I think there's a lot of anxiety in kids who now have to test in to get into high school. I think it has changed the. I would argue the pendulum has switched to what you're seeing, more anxiety in kids doing poorly now more than I. When I was in seventh grade, if I got a 70, I'm like, well, I don't care.
You didn't care? Well, did your parents not ride you?
No, I would have cared. They did, but it was it. Like, now I feel like there's so much that if you get a 70 in seventh grade test, it could have an impact on your direct future.
I think it would be
nice.
That's
how I went to a private school. That's how it was anyway.
Private school. It's also a city school. Suburbs don't have that problem because you can fail your way all the way through school.
Hey, young man. Hey, young daughter.
Or succeed, hopefully.
What's going on? Why are you not doing your homework? That I would start there in my... Mm-hmm. Ideal parenting that I don't know what that's
like.
Attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to restart my computer and try to figure out what stories I had that were fascinating to me that I think I need to tell you about in the next hour of the show, and CLTV will join us as well. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, Steve's there next. All right, 9:10 in the morning, Steve Cochran Show, 9 o'clock hour, CLTV, wherever you're watching. Thank you for watching. We appreciate it. Mm. And hi to everybody at CLTV this morning. We know you're still on a crappy commute here, and we're sorry about that. If you had to be at work at 7 and you're still in traffic, that really sucks. As always, I write notes for all listeners. So if you need me to write a note for your boss or your husband or wife, really for anybody, let me know. I am a note writer. 9:10, Rick Pearson joins us from your Chicago Tribune and the Sunday Spin, chicagotribune.com. But you know what, Rick? Get the paper. Would it kill you to get the paper? Would it kill you?
Hey, coupons. We got coupons.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. You want to plug the Sunday Spin?
Yeah. Obviously, with a lot of things going on, the election coming up next Tuesday, the governor's budget speech today. So we're going to take a kind of a long look at the mayoral election with a roundtable. And I'll have my friend Brian Mackey from Illinois Public Radio as we'll review the governor's budget address.
We'll get to that in a second. Let's start with the mayor and the mayor's race, I should say. Who's winning?
Thanks very much. You want predictions, call Skilling. I mean, I couldn't tell you who's winning this thing. And
who thinks they're winning?
Well, they all think they're winning.
I don't know. I mean, I think some are cockier than others. Has Preckwinkle gotten into the cocky mode here?
Well, I think it was kind of interesting to have a rally last night to, you know, called Be Fair to Tony. I just found it completely odd because, you know, politics ain't beanbag, and this is Chicago. And, you know, if you want to run for the top job, you got to be prepared to take the hits
What hits are we talking about that weren't fair?
I don't know. Those were never elaborated on, except that there's a feeling in the Preckwinkle camp that they've been subjected to more negative attacks than the other candidates.
And yeah, you know what? Stop whining and win.
I mean, that's front runner disease, right? I mean, they're going to go after who they think might have a chance to get to this runoff.
Yeah, I mean, in this case, it's not even front runner. It's, you know, I gotta be at least second. You know, it's one of those rare times where you're running and you're actually hoping to be in second place sometimes. But again, the idea that you have to have a rally to rally supporters around you because you contend that the media or other candidates aren't being fair to you, I just don't get it.
So this has been a relative bargain for a political race, certainly after the gubernatorial race. Is that because the donors are out of money? Is that because this race is less interesting? Is that because there's going to be or does that indicate a potential lower turnout? What do you take from the money side of this?
Well, from the money side, I mean, comparing it to the governor's race, the governor's race was basically two very wealthy individuals buying their own election. Mm-hmm. That was the case. You have some wealthy people here, but nowhere to the wealth that Bruce Rauner or J.D. Pritzker has. So, you know, you do have people putting money into their campaign, but it's not a statewide campaign. It's a local campaign. And, I mean, we've still seen, you know, for Daley alone, I think he's put in over $2 million worth into television. Preckwinkle, Gary Chico, they're about $1.7 million in ads each. Mendoza, $1.5 million each. So that's still significant spending. It's just kind of the governor's race kind of skewed the numbers when it came to money. But, you know, it's not just the money for television. These candidates should have been spending money for quite some time now on putting together a ground game because this thing could hinge on the runoff on just a small number of votes. And, you know, it's plausible. We may not even know the actual runoff results on Tuesday.
It's supposed to snow on Tuesday, just so you know.
Well, that's not helpful.
No.
There he goes.
Yeah, thanks. that's always helpful. So vote early.
Yeah,
you're going to vote.
Rick, I'm intrigued by yesterday. I think it was yesterday. After the Channel 11 debate, Bill Daley said, "You know, I don't want to. I'm not looking to screw over retirees, but something's got to change when it comes to public pensions." And he was talking about the governor changing, opening up the Constitution, amending it, making a constitutional amendment to how pensions are paid. That seems to go almost directly flies in the face of what Pritzker ran on, that he wasn't going to do that. Does that have any impact when it comes to Democrat voters when one Democrat goes against another, especially one that is the new governor in the state of Illinois?
Well, one, Pritzker says he's not going to do anything as far as seeking a change in the Constitution. And basically what we're talking about here is the pension protection clause of the state Constitution, which the Illinois Supreme Court has said basically, once you start a job as a public employee, you're guaranteed the benefits that come with that job, and they can't be diminished or impaired. Daley wants to change that, and he's of this belief that you could pull that pension protection clause out and allow future benefits to be changed. There's a vast amount of case law that says that wouldn't be legal anyway. But where it does affect the Democratic electorate is obviously Chicago, a lot of union clout. And when you start talking about changing labor contracts, public employee union contracts, and benefits, pension benefits, he's not running to be the union candidate, that's for sure. And that's one thing that tells you.
Yeah. So what are people telling you about turnout? Look, we had great turnout, great in quotes, great for us turnout for the midterm. Is that tell you anything about turnout next Tuesday?
No, I don't think it does. And in fact, I mean, I would expect turnout will be fair, but I don't think it will be of a terrific magnitude. I still think there's a kind of a election political hangover from the midterm elections in November. I mean, we went into this mayor's race even before we had the vote last November. And I just kind of think there's a hangover feeling among voters that are just, we've just been hit nonstop with political advertising and TV campaigning for more than a year. And I think that can translate very well into a subdued turnout on Tuesday.
Rick, can I ask you about the parking real quick? I see more and more private parking things popping up where it used to be free. Is there going to be no free parking in Chicago in about 3 years?
Well, wait, back up. I want to know where the free parking is.
I got some spots, Steve. I'll tell you off the air.
Where are you talking about?
I'm talking about in the River North area. Like, if we're going to get super specific, like, there was spots along Illinois that were free, gone. There was, it's just
the parking meters come in. So, those spots, yeah.
So I mean, I just don't understand how it works. Is it, if you, we can keep it free for this long and then we're going to come in? I mean, what's going on there?
I think it's all part of just the continued work by, Laz and the privatization of the parking meters. And as they see, spots that have not been covered by their parking meters, they're putting them in. So, yeah, is there ever going to be a loss of free parking in Chicago? I'd say yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the profit margin's too big for the company.
Yeah, Spot Hero, by the way, is one of the great apps.
It is.
Piece of cake. Remember when they first took the meters out and you had to walk a quarter mile to the centralized box? And then you'd forget your plate number, and you'd have to walk back, and then you'd come back, and your credit card wouldn't work. Remember those good days? Those were good times.
Especially on a day like today.
Yeah, no good. No good whatsoever. What are you writing about today?
Well, we've got the governor's budget address is at noon. It's his very first budget, combined budget state of the state address. Those speeches are, normally are reflective of what are the goals, what are the priorities of this new governor. He's already foreshadowed that the things are worse than he expected, which is kind of what you hear from every new governor that comes into office. But kind of looking to see here if he lays out at least some kind of a longer-term roadmap for how to deal with the state's fiscal problems, including that $134 billion public employee pension deficit that the state faces.
It's Rick Pearson. He's the host of the Sunday Spin. Before any of the Sunday TV political stuff comes on, and those yahoos, Rick straightens you out with everything you need to know. And, of course, he's in your Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com. You can get online. But honestly, Rick, would it kill you to get the paper? Get a couple copies.
Coupons. Coupons.
Thank you, buddy. I'm expanding the regular feature, three things to four things. I have four stories. I don't know where they're going to fit anywhere else in the show. I'll give you the headlines. Tell
I like
me which
thinking
one you're on here first.
Mid-June, you're going to be like, I've got 14 things.
Yeah, it's true. We keep hitting the news on time. Who knows how many things we can fit in?
All right.
All right, so here are your choices. What is the problem with Peppa the Pig?
Okay.
That's a kid's cartoon.
I know Peppa.
Big favorite with Abigail Grace. A lacrosse player has a very similar problem that I have, but they're not all problems. This one is, the longest average commute in Illinois is from what town?
Okay.
And you won't believe how fast a commercial flight went from L.A. to London. Or maybe it was London to L.A. Which one do you want to hear first?
I want to hear about Peppa.
Peppa?
Yeah.
I love this story.
Can you do a voice of Peppa?
I can, but I won't right now because all of my British voices sound like this. Oh, please do the Peppa Pig story. U.S. kids who watch Peppa the Pig are developing slight British accents. This is fantastic. Mother, could I have more Cheerios? surprising amount of controversy around the world. The show was banned in China for promoting so-called gangster attitudes. An episode was pulled in Australia for teaching kids not to be afraid of spiders. And now a British newspaper is reporting that characters all day in the U.S., are starting to speak in a, or kids watching it are starting to speak in a slight British accent. Mummy, mummy, more macaroni and cheese.
Pops, fetch me my cape.
That is fantastic. Now you remaining on the board. We have the longest average commute from every town in every state, from each state, the longest average commute in a particular town. Lacrosse players, headaches. And a really fast commercial flight. What would you like next, Justin?
Well, surprise me. What do you got?
Well, let's go with the commercial flight.
There you go.
That's not what I was going to pick.
Well, I'm sorry. You'll have not controlled the board again in just a second.
I'll take commercial flights for 400, Steve.
A Virgin Atlantic flight making a trip from L.A. to London hit a ground speed of at least 801 miles an hour.
Ground speed?
Thanks to a streak of fast-moving air in the jet stream over Pennsylvania.
So they were in the air. I thought it was 800 miles on the runway.
Yeah,
I was like, what?
I like that they know that the jet stream was over Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, they called Skilling. Skilling keeps track of the jet stream. He knows where it is at all times.
So let's get a long division word problem in. So how early to the gate were they?
Well, that's what I'd like to know, and right. I cannot find it in the reporting of the story, because that would be the obvious thing, because if you're flying from London to L.A.
If a plane is flying from London to L.A.
London to L.A. is a long flight.
It's a terribly long flight. Can you imagine? That's an extra, once you get to New York City, it's six more hours.
I love long flights.
So I think it's about an 11-hour flight, and I believe because of this, it took 12 minutes.
You're right. The average flight time for that flight is 11 hours and 20 minutes.
Okay,
so 801 miles an hour. We don't know how long it flew at that speed.
So what we need, the variable, I've been doing a lot of math with miles, but the variable here is we need to know what a normal speed is for a plane flying through from London to.
Aren't they 500 miles an hour?
500? Okay.
I think it's about 500 miles an hour.
Wow, so that's quite a boost.
Here's what I'd like to know if I'm on the plane. At what speed does the plane break apart because it's going too fast?
Does it affect, do they have to serve food faster because they are running out of time? You know,
What if time moves at a different rate of speed than
normally? Mark Harmon, did you hear him?
What type of aircraft was it again?
Boeing, tough break. I clicked out.
Mark Harmon.
Boeing, really fast one.
He loves long flights.
Don't you guys love just sitting there knowing you have nothing to do but eat, sleep, and watch movies?
Yeah, in first class.
No.
Sure.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That's the worst.
I don't mind a flight of significant duration if it's comfortable. I will tell you right now, I can tell you the last time I sat in a middle seat in coach, it'll never happen again. It was a red eye back from L.A. sometime in the late 90s. It'll never happen again.
And it shouldn't, Steve. You've earned the right to not sit in that seat. However,
two stories remain on the board, Mark. It's your option now. Are you going to go
No.
I'm coming back to you.
We are done.
What are you talking about? We're out of time?
We are out of time.
Oh, so bad. Sorry, you're right. Mark. No, you're absolutely right.
Good time integrity, Mary.
And I didn't get anywhere on my math problem.
I wanted to know the distance of whatever that one was.
The longest commute?
I'm trying.
Yeah. Longest commute in Illinois is from Barrington Hills. The longest average commute is 42 minutes from Barrington Hills. and a lacrosse player was forced to sit out of a game because they couldn't find a helmet big enough for him.
Oof. I saw that. That was
my big-headed brother.
Wheaton College in Massachusetts.
My sister, yeah, is it your relative?
Buddy. Oof. Yeah, buddy. I'll see you at the meeting. 9:28, back with the headlines next on 720 WGN. All right, Ro Khan joins us. Hi, Ro. How are you?
Couldn't be better, Steve. Could not be better.
Hold on. Actually, I could be better. There's a few things I'd like to change about me. I just wanted to check based on your statement. Before we get to the fact that you you called Justin to fight with him yesterday right out of an afternoon nap, why don't we jump right into the blatant plug for your own show. What's coming up today?
Willie Wilson, 3:40. Oh, don't miss it.
Yeah. What time?
3:40 p.m.
I don't know if I can get there by 3:40 because I am campaigning, as you know.
It's going to be fun. Oh, it's going to be fun. I'm going to tell you something. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Now, Justin doesn't seem to believe me in this, but I'm going to tell him the truth. This is the thing that Justin and I, we just disagree on everything that we could possibly disagree on. Including his hippie, I don't want to have an Obama library because the blue-bellied warbler might somehow catch a cold if you build that.
Let me ask you a question. If you were stuck in an elevator with Justin and Alexandra Farfik-Nugent-Cortez, and you only had a gun with one bullet, which one would you shoot, Justin or the congressman?
Oh, no. Let's not go down that road.
You just shoot them in the leg, Ro, just in the leg.
No, I wouldn't do either. I'd shoot myself because I wouldn't want to have them... have to listen to them for as long as I'd have to listen to them. Hey, here's the let me explain what's going to happen here. You want to know who's going to be the I made this prediction yesterday boldly and loudly.
Who's going to win?
Who is going to make the runoff?
Who's going to make runoff? Willie Wilson and
Bill Daley.
Willie Wilson and Bill Daley. No.
It is going to be Willie Wilson and Bill Daley.
Justin,
how fantastic will that be?
How disrespectful would that be that you'd had all these women of color running and pick two dudes?
There he goes with the hippie thing.
Exactly.
Again.
This is why I'm taking my own life in the elevator.
A hippie? Come on, guys. Stand up for me, Carm.
I'm with you, Justin.
Come on, Mary. Stand up
for me. What part of the electoral process? What part of the electoral process means the woman of color gets picked because it's fair?
There are four or five people who are well qualified, and you both of you are like, I think the two guys are going to do it.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen.
Because that's what we think.
I mean, it has nothing to do with the women. It has to do with, first of all, there's so many people.
I would like to see a Preckwinkle Lori Lightfoot.
That's what you'd like. But Ro's saying what he thinks gonna happen. Is going to happen.
Ro, make another one of your predictions to prove you don't like black people. Go ahead, do it.
Preckwinkle. I think it'll be Preckwinkle and Lightfoot.
That's who you think the runoff is?
Preckwinkle and Lightfoot. You know,
okay, I'm willing to take that bet.
I'll take the Wilson.
I got to say that is unbelievably insulting to bald guys with gray hair. That is unbelievable.
I'm
writing this down, so I've got it so we can discuss it.
Here's why I think
I think it's Preckwinkle and Daley. Not exactly out on a limb, but I think that's the runoff.
Preckwinkle and Lightfoot.
Mm-hmm. Well, type faster.
I know. You're doing Preckwinkle and Daley?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, you're going with the ball.
I also don't want to be on the record.
And Roe is saying Wilson and Daley. All right, I got you guys.
I'm objective.
Walking it back.
But honestly, we have to do a debate if it's Daley and Wilson, and it has to be radio only. To hear those two voices go and forth on issues.
There's nothing more Chicago than that. I know. I'm very sorry that there's not a woman of color, Justin.
You've always hated women of color. That's been your platform for years.
I'm just telling you. Let me just tell you the truth. Let me just tell you what's going on here. This is what people count on me for, to tell them what's really happening.
Yes, that's what they counted you for.
There's a lot of money in this with Daley. The commercials, I think, are going to be, they're going to win the day here to get him to somewhere in the low to mid 20s. I'd say anywhere between 23 and 25%.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'd be stunned if he goes that high.
I know. People are thinking I'm crazy for that. I'm not. So I think he's going to be around 23%. I think the next person in the runoff is going to be around 18%. Because you got to look at where there's still 20% that's outstanding, that's undecided.
Allegedly,
where are they going to break? Where are those people going to break? Are they going to break? If you're undecided, are you going to break for Toni Preckwinkle? You've already made a decision about her. She has not run much of a campaign. She's on television a little bit in terms of commercials, but you don't see her out. She's turning down interviews. She's running a Rose Garden campaign because she doesn't want to be out there and answer a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I think she's hoping that SEIU and CTU are the two unions that are supporting her are going to push her across the finish line here. CTU might, because I think those are more activated voters. Teachers are more activated voters. I don't think the SEIU members are necessarily going to jump across the for her, because I don't think that they think that they're necessarily going to get cut, and they're also going to be split among some other candidates here. Daley won't have that. Daley is the default play because Daley is the guy that is a continuation of business. I think most people, with the exception of crime and the exception of rats and the exception of the sort of these grand concerns, I don't think people really believe the mayor is going to make that much of a difference in their life. And I just don't think that's sort of cynical,
don't you think?
Wouldn't you think that that would possibly play well for some of the secondary candidates who may run on a more progressive agenda? That people are like, the mayor doesn't mean anything to me, so let's try something new? Why would you automatically knee-jerk to a name that has been a dynasty in Chicago for that 50 years?
Because I think that some of the other names scare people, too. I think some of the other... The characters scare people, and with all due respect to Lori Lightfoot, she's a very qualified player here. I just don't think that she lights up a room, and I don't think people are going to necessarily go, "Oh wow, well we got to have her." As opposed to
what about Paul Vallis? He'll do anything. He'll show up anywhere.
He's the exact. He's now, as a woman of color, I think Paul Vallis also is not going to get my endorsement. No, Paul is. Wait, no, I am. No,
okay.
There is. I think he's for the exact same reason. I just don't think he's lighting anything up.
Who are we forgetting? What about Mendoza?
Now it's interesting. I'm the same way.
I don't understand why she always pulls her hair back. Why does it have to be that look? Is that what you're
going
to say?
See what's going on here? This is like classic radio. This is classic talk radio from 1956. I can't believe women are actually thinking about running for public office. I can't believe they have the right to drive. I'm surprised.
In your mind, did all men in the 50s need dental work? I'm just curious, because that's what that sounded like. Somebody needed to get to the dentist immediately.
I think that I'm surprised by how ineffective her campaign has been. Mm-hmm. I think part of it was that she got knocked off the rails early with the whole Burke and Solis thing. That's a good point.
What about Burke and Solis as a write-in? No? Okay. Probably not helping. Gary Chico?
I think Gary Chico's, I don't know. People are going, who, what, where, why? Love him or hate him, Daley is a... is a brand in this town.
Here's what I think people need to think about. There is a laziness to voting that every city and every state does. There's a reason Irish Catholics have been elected forever. There's a reason if your name was Kelly, you could get elected. There's a reason judges have names you all recognize. There's a reason people named Washington could get elected. And I'm not talking about Harold here. The reason is because people like what they know. But you have to have a big enough turnout for that to happen. Point being, I think Daley is in the runoff. However, if it's a small turnout, I don't think Daley makes it. Because you don't have the default vote unless it's a larger turnout. This is radio. You need to talk here.
Yeah. Would the chairman of the Socialist Party like to weigh in here? I thought I heard Justin about to jump in here.
No, I just I blinked yesterday. I was driving, and it was amazing to see the signs, the branded signs for Bill Daley. They say Daley for mayor, and I couldn't tell if it was 2019 or 1997.
What you're basing it on is you're tired of Daley.
No, it's not that I'm tired of Daley. I think Daley is doing this as well. I think the idea is that they're doing exactly what you just said, Steve. I think they're playing to the lowest common denominator of, I know that name, I'll vote for it.
It wasn't Bill Daly. I don't think Bill, the word Bill was on there. It was Daly. Remember this? Daly, Daly, Daly.
No, but that's what I do if I were.
I guess you do, but I just, I wonder how much there's revisionist history about the last mayor in the last two terms has done his best to dance around the idea that the Daly family is why we are in a situation where we have a tremendous amount of pension debt and financial struggles that are going to have to be taken care of in this next administration.
Well, that's because everybody had to be taken care of. That was the issue. And there's that's not going to change with Tony Preckwinkle. You think Tony Preckwinkle's not going to take care of people? Or?
Well, Tony Preckwinkle shows a – what I would give Tony Preckwinkle – I don't disagree with you there, but – Tony Preckwinkle has a record of trying to deal with the pension issue in the Cook County.
And, really? And
when it comes to the hospital system, when it comes to the employees there, she has actually come to with ideas for the county on how to deal with
that. And how have those ideas actually
been
passed?
They've done pretty well. I mean, I think they have done well. If you look at the – just look specifically at the Cook County hospital system, and there has been major strides in that area when it comes to pensions. Just saying. And she and she has, and I'm not supporting Tony Preckwinkle, but she does have experience in running a county administration, which is much larger than the city of Chicago.
She's got the most Twitter followers, for the record. I think that's a huge factor, 15,000 plus.
But running the city means controlling the alderman. And yeah, I don't
she
know
was
that,
an alderman.
Yeah, but I don't know that Preckwinkle has the personality or the character to control the alderman, especially now.
I think you also have to be in a business of being a bit of a showboat. You have to be out there trying to sell the city of Chicago for economic development because it's really, really critically important.
But that would be an argument against Bill Daly, because Bill Daly doesn't exactly light up a room.
Oh, I think he's very... No. I think it's exactly... He lights up a boardroom. Right? Just look at the commercials against him, right? And SBC and all the rest of that. When all of a sudden they go, this man was a corporate titan. And
yeah, but that's not a showboat thing. That's a, I've done it. I've been there.
Yeah,
I got it. I was,
but yeah. You want that. You want to count. The thing is that the city of Chicago, the only way out of this economically is to grow the economic base of the city of Chicago. And that means corporately. And that I know that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders and Justin Coffin don't agree with me, but I will tell you this. And then I am taking my life in the elevator there too. I just want to make it very clear. If we don't, you know, no bucks, no Buck Rogers, as they said in the right stuff. If you do not have the money to develop this, the economy of Chicago, and you don't have the businesses to develop it, you're going to have a problem, and you need to have you need to have that. I understand there are people like, well, what's going to happen to my neighborhood if Amazon comes in? Well, there are going to be jobs. Do you see? I mean, let's just say. In New York, it wasn't going to be 25,000 jobs at $150,000 apiece. Let's say it was 15,000 jobs at $100,000 apiece. Wouldn't you take that?
But Ro, right? But Ro, yeah. Didn't we just do
out of
two
time.
Terms?
Last
just
word right here.
Didn't we just do two terms of a mayor where this was the exact same argument back in 2000?
And the development in the city has been pretty
economic
great.
And
it has been good.
Yeah, but violence is gotten worse. We saw a cover-up. We saw social issues. We see a have and a have-not city with no middle class. So I do think there's an argument to say that it's not all about business in downtown Chicago.
And that's where you'd be wrong. That's the final word. Thank you. Goodbye. No,
all right. Now, this afternoon, Rokon will have Anna DeVlantis join him, or as I like to call him, Ro Bocephus Bubba Con. And
I wonder if they're going to wake Justin up again.
Yeah, what time you'll be calling Comrade Kaufman?
I think we're going to call the comrade at 3:50 to find out what he thought about Willie Wilson.
Give Steve just a little taste of your impression of me.
I believe that there's going to be trouble if there should be an Obama presidential center somewhere on green space on the south side.
So you sound like a character from Underdog.
Oh, he nailed it. That's me.
That's Comrade Kaufman and
Bubba Con.
See you,
buddy.
See you, buddy. Thanks. The textures are funny. That's all. Just the textures are funny. 312, not a regular listener, somebody that texts all the time. I thought at first it was irony. Justin just exposed himself as a Marxist.
And they say an SJW Marxist. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
I'm a Harpo Marxist.
Seems like a compliment.
And thank you, Mark. I'll take it that way. Thank you very much, 312. Thank you.
And then somebody says, Rode, why don't you take your show to 63rd and Halsted? What, and leave it there? I mean, you got to come back.
You're a social justice warrior.
Oh,
Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That is where Steve will be next. Bill and Wendy are here. You haven't been able to weigh in yet on Mark Carman destroying his own engagement with his attitude.
Don't say that.
He'll earlier today we were talking about it, and Mark wants to discuss everything related to the wedding, and I pointed out your opinion has no value other than just pretending.
Just show up. Find out what time it is.
But pretend you're interested.
Oh, you have to pretend you're interested. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let her decide, and when she says, what do you think, say, it's great.
You guys are so old school. This is the new wave. Men leading the way, partnering, engaging.
Wait, leading the way and partnering are two different things.
I can't wait. I can't wait until you have to miss one of the games that you go to for no good reason because you're going to a couple's wedding shower. That'll be fantastic. Then tell me about old school.
Steve, that will not happen.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, see, that's a problem.
There we go.
Yeah.
You got to prioritize here, team. Got to know. You got to lay down what you're willing to.
You know, you need to be in charge of. And there's a good chance you'll screw this up. Putting the tux on the way it's supposed to go on, and not backwards. That's it.
Go in suits, no tux. I want to stand out.
Boy, because you're the prize.
That's right.
Seriously,
exactly. Now we're getting there.
I ask him every day. Still engaged? One of these days.
It's what the bride wants to hear from the groom. I want to stand out.
Right? Totally. Because it's his day. She's a beautiful girl, and she could do better.
That hurt.
Thanks, Justin. I heard that.
Oh, it didn't hurt. I love
him. He's a prize.
I love him. Are you kidding me?
She's going to get a dress.
Carm, thanks for doing this.
Thanks.
Appreciate you being here always.
He'll be here tomorrow.
And I'll see you tomorrow. Okay, I'll see you guys tomorrow as well.